Okay, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the February meeting of the Gambling Control Board. I'll call the meeting to order. We'll begin with introductions of the board, and I'll start to my left today.
Good morning, Greg McNeil, board member from Fairfield, Maine.
Barbara Dresser, board member from Saco.
Al Schofield, board member from Winthrop.
Bob?
Bob Harmon, board member from Raymond.
Okay, coming to us today from North Carolina. And
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Got my Carolinas. Geography, I was never good at, Bob. So, and I'm Tim Doyle, I'm board chair, and I'm from Turner. Next, I'd have the executive director introduce himself and his staff.
With us today, we have the office, our new office specialist, Mallory Riley, and inspector supervisor, Vicki Gardner.
Okay, small staff today.
Small staff today, yep.
Yeah, and also with us, we have a representative from the Attorney General's office.
Yes, Katie Johnson.
Welcome. So, okay, that brings us next to the approval of the January minutes. Those minutes were sent to us ahead of time. Are there any corrections, additions, changes recommended? I did have one, and you made that already, that's in here. That was just further describing the hearing that we had as a hearing for mass publishing. So hearing no other additions or corrections, all those in favor? Those opposed? None? Those abstaining? So that would be, Bob, you're in favor of those?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so we record that as 3-4 and one abstention. Next up would be the executive director's report, Mr. Champion.
Good morning. From operations in January 2020, there were 12 shipments of machines or associated equipment shipped in or from licensed facilities. On-site inspectors completed 781 observations, 33 checklists. There were two formal complaints of potential violation with six minor violations being monitored from our activity log. There were zero patron complaints and zero dispositions, and formal reports were sent to members for review per statute. There were 20 self-exclusions. For the month of January, weather worked with us, I believe, in 2020. We identified an increase of 16.6% in total tax revenue for both facilities versus January 2019. Year to date, we've identified an increase of 16.6% as we're starting out the year versus last year at the same time. Oxford reported 8.3% win for the month of January from slots and 21.7% win from table games. Oxford payback percentage was 91.7% with an average gross win per machine of $212.79. Hollywood reported 9.3% average win for the month of January from slots and a 30.3% win from table games. Hollywood's payback percentage was 90.7% with an average gross win per machine of $129.73. Just to give the board a little bit of an update on in regards to the ADW, the announcement went out. There was no appeal. We went through the 15-day appeal process. There was no appeal. So I'm now working with Penn ADW LLC to complete that contract. As soon as the contract signatures are done, then they'll be able to start taking wagers. And I've had a lot of email communications and reach outs to the unit to find out just when that's going to take place. So we're working on that. I'm working on that right now with Christopher McLean from Penn National. So we'll get that done as soon as we can. There was some question. We had a lot of hoopla, I guess, for lack of a better term, about sports betting in Maine. And the bill, the LD 553, was the veto was overturned by the Senate and didn't make it through the House. So it's something we'll have to rework, I guess, if that's the legislative direction in January 2021. The one part about that is, like the fantasy sport or the fantasy contest law, right now, sports betting would fall just under the gambling control unit. And my understanding is pretty much because there's really not a whole lot to it. It's internet-based. most part, the sports betting is a commodity, you know, like a good buffet. So there's not a whole lot of attention to detail once it's established. It's pretty much something that we run with. The fantasy contest rules went out for a second comment, and they should be ready to go forward with adoption. They're major substantive, so they would have to go back to the legislature in 2021 as well. In the meantime, we are, by law, we're allowed, once they've applied with an application, they're allowed to take wagers, so we're taking wagers now as far as fantasy contests are concerned. The only other bill that we had was, there was a bill where we were trying to get clarification on registering of equipment. That bill passed out of the PLA committee, and it'll be going to each one of the houses. Basically, it includes casino service vendors to have to register what they sell or what they send into and out of the state of Maine as well. So that was the technical aspect of getting that clarified. So that's pretty much where we're at. Other than that, RFPs, rule developments, some of the stuff we'll be talking about later.
Okay. Any questions of the executive director?
Mr. Chairman, I've got a couple.
Okay.
Just to confirm, Skip, in the investigation conclusions, there were none last month.
Were there any from last month?
Yes.
No, none have been concluded yet. We wanted to make sure, or we wanted to finalize the complaint process. And in doing so, we're probably about 13 to 16 reports backed up. And so what we're doing with those is we're going through the process that we agreed upon. And that's basically what we're working on now. Once they've been completed, dispositions have been issued, then we'll be able to give you that information. As well, the commissioner and I are also working on a dashboard, and we're trying to define that, how that would work out as far as letting you know when a complaint has come to our attention, and it's kind of like starting the process. So once we finish that, then we'll be able to give you that information as well.
Okay, well, that was kind of my second question. I didn't see any unfinished business with whole complaint process review. And actually, based on the discussions from last month, I was looking for some kind of a written report that summarizes all of the conclusions that were made during all the work that you and the commissioner and the casinos have been working on. So I just think, Mr. Chairman, all of that should stay in the unfinished business until we've got that fully concluded.
I agree, and I think we're very close from what I've been hearing. So in the future, the expectation would be that we would be able to see at a snapshot everything that's going on involving the complaint process right through till the resolution of those complaints. And I agree with you, we should carry it as a piece of unfinished business, but I suspect by March we'll probably be ready to report, I would think. Is that your answer?
Yes.
Okay. Any
okay.
Any other questions?
No, I'm all set. Thank you.
All right. So hoopla, that's what I'm going to take away from your report. The legislative process, we'll call it hoopla.
Hoopla.
State Police, Donnie is out sick today, so no
yes.
report?
Yes.
Okay. So that brings us to unfinished business. Could you walk us down through unfinished business?
Okay. First one that we've been working on for a little bit of time now is promotional credit rulemaking to allow for promotional credits through table games, through the operation of table games. We went out for written comment. We got some written comments from Scientific Games, and we followed some of those comments up with GLI, Gaming Laboratories International. And in doing so, we Okay, in doing so, what we did was initially, we were looking at the subject of a voucher and having the voucher being more defined for use at a table game. But some of the responses that we got from Scientific Games and GLI was that voucher is used in other areas. And so while vouchers, tickets, certificates, all could be a part of either a slot machine credit or a table game credit, we thought we'd kind of leave that out, leave it pretty much a generic, however, whatever facility manufacturer wanted to define it, or how a facility wanted to use, whether they wanted to say it's a voucher that they're going to use, a certificate or a ticket. So we initially took out tickets, or the word ticket out of chapters 3, 4, and 24, and replaced it with voucher. So what we're doing now is, in not utilizing just voucher for table games, we're going to retract those changes in chapters 3, 4, and 24 with the next publication. We are going to make the recommended changes, or we're going to post for comment the changes that you have in your folders today under promotional credits, which is chapter 29. And in chapter 29, a couple of the changes from the first comments that were made in the first section there, the levels of patron play required for issuance of promotional credits will include no play. So that's so they, if they want to, they can give out credits just as a promotional type item and not necessarily based on what somebody's level of play is. The next one was down in number 5, slot machine casino operator must file with the board any promotions involving use of promotional credits for slot machines prior to their use. And the reason for this was some cases they'll want to do these rather quickly, and if they have to do it within 30 days, it takes a little time, a little thunder away from their marketing. The next subject matter was the reporting of $250 or more in the 24-hour period in promotional credits redeemed by a patron, to include the name, the amount of the patron, or the patron's name, the amount, and the number of the patron who issued the credit. This is a real concern of mine because of my other life. We found employees who were giving out large amounts of credit or large amounts of free play, and either they weren't checked by the facility or whatever reason there was. This is something that we instituted in order to combat that excess in giving out free credit. So we're going to take a look at this a little bit more, though, because the $250 might be a little bit on the small side. Again, I'm more concerned about somebody just giving out credit versus whatever that amount is. So we may even look at that and suggest that even the facilities establish that, whatever that amount would be. Number 2, subsection number 2, obviously we're scratching out the definition of voucher, and then we've incorporated from Scientific Games comments and from GLI some of these other areas. In match play, we changed the definition there a little bit, and then in the description of the program and the voucher process, we're looking at the process, not necessarily the system. The levels of plays required, again, to include no play. The vouchers must contain at least the following specific information: name of the recipient, and if applicable, the rewards, number of the recipient. So that's something that was added in. And then number 5 was the major suggestion from Scientific Games to add in, which we felt would be appropriate, so we added that in. So what we're going to do is chapter 29 will be posted for written comment, and then it also will post 3, 4, and 24, and say that basically we're reverting back to the original original wording, so there'll be no changes in those three. So the only written comments that we'll get are from chapter 29.
Okay, so.
And of course, that's with your approval of going forth in that manner.
So because the comments on chapter 29 were so extensive, basically has to be republished for another hearing or public comment?
Not for another hearing, but for public comment.
Public comment.
Published for public comment.
Be one or the other, right? You could hold a hearing, but.
Yeah, it's not necessary.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second round.
Yeah.
All right, so anything further, Mr. Champion, on that?
No, that's it. That would just be what I need is your approval to go forward with just the changes, suggested changes in chapter 29, and then understanding that we're going to retract 3, 4, and 24, and there'll be no change in those rules.
So 3, 4, and 24 would go back to the original wording, which would match chapter 29.
Well,
proposed
basically,
changes.
3, 4, and 24 will be removing the deletion of the word ticket,
yeah,
and replacing it with voucher, so it'll go back to ticket.
Okay. All right. Any questions from the board? Okay. Nothing on your end, Bob?
Nope. All set.
All right. So hearing no comments. Recommended motion would be to post chapter 29 for public hearing, and also chapters 3, 4, and 24 as well. That'll all be done in this, not public hearing, post for comment. That'll all be in the same public comment period, correct?
Yes, correct.
Sure. Someone make that motion? So we have a motion by Barbara.
Second.
Second by Greg. Hearing no discussion, those in favor? Okay, that's unanimous. Bob, hop in if we're moving at a pace that, if you want to jump in, because I can't see you today.
Yeah, no, I will.
Okay, so that brings us next to the proposed letter in response to the self-exclusion after 5 years. We had asked Mr. Champion to draft a letter. That letter was sent to us ahead of time. Essentially, this would be for someone allowed to, the board approves getting off the self-exclusion list. There's a minimum, if they self-exclude for lifetime, after a minimum of 5 years, they're eligible to ask to be removed from the list. And the board has been struggling over this. Our rule is not very explicit as to direction to the board, so it's kind of left to us, and kind of where I think we've been heading is, given the lack of specific direction and our inability to really suggest that they get counseling, the lack of counseling in the state, we thought it was appropriate to, at the very least, if they're removed from the self-exclusion list for a lifetime, that they be sent some materials that can help them stay informed, make good decisions in their life, and have some resources available to them regarding problem gambling. So once you take it from there, Milt, and just update us on the letter, and then I see in the packet we have some materials, and I assume those are the materials.
Yeah, Lori Manson from AdCare worked with me on this, and I really appreciated her input. She's been pretty instrumental. She gave me some notes to work off of as far as this letter is concerned, and then I put a little bit of something added into it. But this pretty much explains that, you know, after a five-year period, which is a pretty long period of time, that we would be okay to allow somebody who wants to go back into the facility, but we'd also would bring some things to their attention, and that if they have foresee in the future any issues where gambling is concerned, we actually listed some areas or people that they can contact, and then also at the same time we have the brochures that were in your packets today that we'll be putting one of each of those into the letter as well. So again, it's an approval process after a five-year period. Gives them the information that they can reach out to someone should they find themselves with an issue after this or in the future.
And just to be clear, I want to make sure that it's not automatic. They can apply after 5 years to the board. The board still has the prerogative to deny their request. But if we approve it, this letter would go out along with the material, so.
Correct.
On the occasion that we feel, for whatever reason, or a future board feels, for whatever reason, that the person should remain on the self-exclusion list, that's still a prerogative of the board, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Barbara?
It's not a question so much as I'd like to make a suggestion in the second paragraph that the word shall be changed so that it reads that it has been, or shall suggests that something further needs to be done.
Okay.
So I would just avoid that. And reading through, I understand what the attempt was. I just think we are going beyond what we should be doing by the third and fourth paragraphs. I worry that they venture a little too far into the lecturing area, and I'd rather have it simply say it's been approved and there are resources should you need them, and they are as follows, or something to that effect, but take out the commentary. That would be my suggestion.
Okay. Anything further from anyone else?
Hey, Tim?
Sure. Bob?
Just a couple questions. Just on the two references you give with email addresses, MILF, Maine's Gambling Treatment Network, and Maine Council on Problem Gambling, are those organizations in Augusta?
Well, they're statewide. 211 is the main identifying number for gambling, I believe alcohol, drugs. It's a
suicide.
Statewide suicide, yes. 211 is the all service call.
Okay. Just on Barbara's point, I mean, I can see what Barbara's saying, but I think those two paragraphs kind of lead up to, okay, here are the resources you might want to access. So I thought it was a great letter.
Okay. Greg?
I kind of agree with what Bob's saying. I also understand where Barbara's coming from, because it kind of does get into the preaching mode. But one of the issues I've had with the letters requesting to get off, to be removed from the self-exclusion list, was that they talk about their struggles and all the other things that led them up to take that action, which is a good judgment call in my point of view. So the only thing we have to go on is that letter. And if we do approve, I think the pamphlets are just a reminder of what's available to them should they feel themselves slipping back into whatever caused them to be self-excluded in the first place. So I think the letter is good. It does get a little bit preachy, but it does lead up to, as Bob said, the information that's available that you're going to provide to them in the packet and why you're providing it to them. So I think this is a really good first step to kind of alleviate, at least from my perspective, the concerns I had when approving them to be removed from the self-inclusion list.
No, I would agree with that. I agree with Barbara in a sense that it may be a little preachy, but I guess I'm more than happy to go with the letter as it is. I think it's more good in it than bad, let's put that way.
Okay. So the second paragraph, I agree with Barbara, with the word shall. I think that a letter's going to go out either way. So we're going to get their request, we're going to review their request at a meeting, and we're either going to approve or deny it. If we deny it, this letter would be, the board has met on such and such a date and denied your request to be removed from the self-exclusion list.
Right.
And personally, I'm happy sending those people some information about gambling addiction as well. Or the second paragraph would say the board has met on such a date and approved your request to be removed from the self-exclusion list, and then give them the date. So I think the second paragraph is really what we need to just kind of change, and I believe the consensus is to leave the rest of it as is while understanding Barbara's point, it's a good point. Providing this information, I think, will be helpful. So with those changes, is somebody prepared to make a motion? So we have a motion by Al, second by Greg. Any further discussion? Milt, anything you need from us before we vote?
No, I'm good.
Okay, all those in favor? Two, favor, Al? Those opposed? So I think we can record this one. Bob, we're going to record your vote on all of these because we're not voting at a public hearing. I know that'll drive Kate crazy, but I'm okay with it.
Okay.
All right, so you're...
I vote for it.
You're in four. So four in favor, one opposed. I'll get admonished from Kate after the meeting, but... All right, so that brings us to some that we've tabled. Did we review all four? I know we reviewed at least three of them.
Yeah, I think there was four of them should be in your packet.
Right. Have we formally reviewed all four? And we can't refer to these by name. So in the future, we're going to need a kind of a numbering mechanism. Let's see if I can find them. So one through four. All right, so let's
be signed, not tight.
Pardon me?
I'd be surprised. Is there one tight? Most of them are they
tight,
signed
yeah.
Handwriting.
So why don't we number these as we talk about them? We'll do them each individually. I'm going to refer to the first one in our packet. The gentleman's initials are WS, and why don't we call that 20-1. I don't think we've numbered anything else there. Is everyone with me on the one we're looking at? And we've talked about this several times. Is somebody prepared to make a motion to allow them to be removed from the self-exclusion list and provided with the letter and resource materials that we just approved?
So moved.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion regarding application 20-1? Hearing none.
Hey, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I don't think I have these. This isn't a packet you received, but I didn't receive these before the meeting, so I can't comment.
Okay.
As you go through all these.
Okay. So we'll record you as an abstention. So
yeah.
Those in favor yeah. of 20-1. That's 4-4, one abstention. The second one was received September 17, 2019. can't read the guy's writing. What are his initials? It's a gentleman from Winterport. Does everyone have the letter I'm referring to? Okay. Could be a doctor. He's got good writing. So anybody prepared to make a motion on, we'll call this one 20-2.
I'll move it.
So we have a motion by Al.
Second.
Second by Greg. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor? All right, that'd be 4-4 and one opposed. The next one was received January 14th of 2020, and these have all met the minimum 5 years. Milt does not bring them to us unless they have. So we'll call this one 20-3. The gentleman's initials are GD. Everyone see what we're referring to? Anybody willing to make a motion on this one?
So moved.
We have a motion by Al. Second,
second
by Greg. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of 20-3. That's 4-4 and one abstention. And the last one we have in our packet is dated February 4th, 2020. This one, I don't believe we've seen at prior meetings, so I'm going to take a second to read this one, but we're going to call this one 20-4. The gentleman's initials are LP. That's in our packet. All right. Is anybody prepared to make a motion on this one?
So moved.
So a motion to remove from the self-exclusion list, send the letter and materials. Is there a second? Second by Barbara. Those in favor? That's 4-4 with one abstention. All right, so that gets those off our plate after four meetings. That brings us to new business. First up is the annual report approval. That was sent to us prior to the meeting. I know some comments were sent back by at least a couple of board members. There was a couple of typos in there, minor things. And there's also a suggestion that we add something in about problem gambling, which I happen to think is a great idea as well. Is there any other comments from anybody on the board with regard to the report? Report's pretty much been the same format for at least the last few years.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
And I had some email discussion with Mr. Campion about the timing of getting the report printed and over to the legislature. Are we making these changes?
I'd like to talk about making them. I think we can make some minor changes and stay on timeline without having to come back in March and approve it. I think we can meet the March 15th deadline. And if anybody gets locked up over it, it's Milt's name on it, not mine, so.
Okay. Hey, just if we're going to make some changes, just I'm wondering about the comment in there that we try to go to each of the casinos every other year. I think maybe that's fallen by the wayside, whether it's still accurate or not, so.
No, we did. We did as a board do that for the longest time, and I think it really worked out well until the penny wasn't so shiny anymore. And I think we stopped seeing the value for it. You know, people in the community didn't turn out anymore as they did, so. And it was also pretty difficult to get everybody to those various locations, so. The next board may want to do that, but I agree we should just remove that paragraph. I did note that as well. There was a 2018 date in board composition that Milt's going to change to 2019.
Yeah, that's all.
So the one in our packet still reflects 2018, but that change has been made. Any other comments?
You know, Mr. Chairman, just if we make those changes and put something in there regarding addiction and problem gambling or whatever, I mean, this is a very nice looking report, something we can really be proud of.
Okay. Would the board be in favor of adding just a paragraph that says something along the lines, "The board recognizes that problem gambling can be an issue for some people in Maine, and that the state should be cognizant of and support efforts to combat problem gambling when possible, support efforts. We can recognize the funds that are currently given, but continue to be mindful of problem gambling as we move forward."
I think that it might tie into the board even better if there's a reference made to the number of people on the self-exclusion list and perhaps the number of requests that we process in a particular year for removal.
That's a great suggestion.
That way it's less random, I think.
Yep.
Ties it to us.
Did you hear that, Bob?
Yes, yep, that's good.
So can we add one paragraph that kind of outlines that, and that we recognize as the state continues to discuss problem, or gambling in general, that they be mindful of problem gambling? Okay. With those changes, is the board prepared to accept the report? We'll trust Milt to make the changes and send us a copy, but we'll approve the report.
I think so.
All right, so that's a motion from Greg.
Yes.
A second from Barbara. Any further discussion? Okay. Anyone want to place a bet on what the names in the report 2020? Still be ours. All right. Okay, so those in favor of the report? That's
fine.
All right, unanimous. All right, brings us next to the board pre-approval for educational programs on the casino floor for special events. Milt, you can.
Yeah, this was a topic that was brought to my attention by one of the facilities, and they didn't want to go to the extent of necessarily putting it as a line item. I felt that after I looked into it a little bit, that required board approval. Basically, what they want to do is if the facility wants to have some type of educational event, if you will, or some other type of event whereby they can take, say, a blackjack table into another room, set it up with non-denom chips and cards that have been, what's the word I'm looking for? Destroyed, for lack of a better term, basically drill a hole through them. Being able to utilize those in an event type scenario where, you know, they would educate people that wanted to learn how to play the game, so to speak. We do have it right now under educational programs, as far as like schools, you know, having a dealer school and that sort of thing. So. Without getting into it real heavy, I thought this was something that I could just bring up to the board. I honestly think, at least in the casinos that I've worked in as well, they've even had one table out on the casino floor where they would give instruction to anybody that wanted to come up and learn how to play the game. So it's something that a lot of facilities do nationwide, I believe. So if the board would approve it, I think it's somewhere the facilities just reach out to me, say, hey, we have an event, we're going to have a casino night, if you will, and we're going to have a, you know, a couple table games, and we're going to give instruction to anybody who wants to learn how to play the game. Or they'll say, you know, Thursday nights or Tuesday nights when things are a little bit slow, out on the casino floor, we're going to take table so-and-so and make that an instructional type table to where we can teach the public and they can come up and learn how to play a game in that sense. So that's really what I was looking for. Again, they didn't want to make it a big issue, and I don't think it's necessary either. I think given the approval of having educational programs, this would just be an extension of that.
Okay. So the the rule that's in place now was put in place when casinos were new to Maine. They were designed for the casinos to partner with the college system to provide training for dealers.
Correct.
And so that's the current rule. This would be more, they're hosting some night at the casino where no funds are exchanged. It's basically just instructional with no money exchanged to learn how to play the game. And your suggestion would be to delegate the authority to you to make a decision to say that would be okay.
Right.
Okay. And this, right now, this wouldn't be an ongoing, everyday thing. This would be for an occasional special event?
Correct.
Okay. Any questions of the board regarding that?
Just a question, what you just said, Mr. Chairman, that this is going to be a delegated thing?
Well, that's the question. What's happened in this case is one of the facilities contacted Milt, asked a question of, you know, sort of what would it take? Would we be authorized to do this? Is it something that we want to allow the executive director on behalf of the board to say, that's fine, all the safeguards are in place, without having to wait a month and bring it to the board? This would be something that an event's being planned. They want to have a group of school, you know, or, you know, a civics group or somebody come in to actually see the game being played. They could do that in a way that was not gambling because no money is being exchanged, but more instructional or educational.
Sure. Yeah. So if it is going to be a delegated authority, we just add it to our, I think currently we have 12 delegated authorities. This would be like number 13.
Kate has a question or a suggestion.
Yeah, Bob, this is Katie Johnson. I'm looking, and I don't know if that's one of the powers that can be delegated. So for right now, you know, and if we were going to delegate it, Bob is correct, we would have to do a resolution, which we haven't prepared today, but I'm not sure that that's one of the delegated authorities. It says in the statute that any casino or slot machine training or education program is subject to approval by the board and must conform to criteria established by the board.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Chairman, this is a good idea. I think Milt's got to hit it right on the nail head. But, you know, let's just do a resolution for next month and we can move forward with it.
Okay.
I think what Katie's just saying is that this is one of those areas where it can't be delegated. Is that what you're saying, Katie?
As I'm looking right now, yeah. I mean, I'm just looking quickly, but I don't see something specific to education that can be delegated.
Are you?
Oh, it can be delegated.
Correct, okay. Bob, yeah.
Are you looking at 1011?
Yes, I believe so. Oh, no, I'm looking at 1003.
Oh, okay. I was looking at 1011.
So under the powers and duties of the board, that's where you're reading out of the statute?
Correct, correct. And I'm happy to look at it in more detail if you want. You know, we can see if we can do a resolution later, but just, you know, off the cuff, I don't see anything, so.
Yeah.
Well, and so the board could give facilities a blanket authority to approve using a table game this way for events and or educational purposes on the casino floor.
Yeah, I think you know that the statute does say it has to conform to criteria established by the board, so I guess it would be best to, you know, if you want to approve it in generally.
Tell you what, we have a specific request for this go around for an event. It's going to take place when?
Well, not for a specific event now. They wanted to put on the event, but they
decided not to.
They're not. Yeah, they're not. I mean, the event's still going on, I would imagine, but not with this.
Okay.
This is just like an added feature that you would. They have the ability to do is basically
what. All right, so essentially what I'm hearing is the board thinks that that would be an acceptable practice. We need to figure out the mechanics. Given that there's not a specific request right now, I don't know that a general blanket approval is in order. So if that's something you can talk with Kate about going forward, that we'd have a mechanism to allow for it. We think educating the public about gambling is not a bad thing.
Okay.
You know, and the parameters would be that no money is exchanged, you know,
right.
The use of destroyed cards,
yeah.
Strictly for educational and not for any other purpose. So maybe that's something you guys could work on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right, do we anything else at this point, Mr. Chairman?
I think it's gonna really be close to whatever the rules and or law is established for educational programs. So it's going to be really close to that.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll come back in March.
All right, so that brings us to the internal controls for Link Progressives that are not compatible with the central monitoring system.
Okay, so the history of this was the facilities approached me with the idea that some of the slot machine manufacturers have Progressive machines that unfortunately are not compatible to use with the central monitoring system. And so what I'd really like to do is have one of the slots personnel from one of the facilities, either one, come up and really talk about why, you know, that sort of thing, what they were looking for, what they're looking for. Initially, when I was approached about it after the meeting, the last meeting we had, I thought it would be a good idea. We had a meeting after our board meeting, sat down with the facilities, and we discussed a system of internal controls in order to be able to utilize this. So the one thing I wanted to mention before we bring up one of the facilities slots folks is that currently right now in Appendix A, our mix, we only have a definition of Progressive jackpot. And then in another section, it really just talks about banks of slot, Progressive slot machines and the requirement of the overhead Progressive meter. And then also it mentions about the operator being liable for the payment of those Progressives. So we don't really have a lot of minimum internal controls on Progressives. We do have the adoption of GLI 12, which is GLI standard for Progressive slot machines. So we do have that as well. And looking at that, basically what they did is I asked them to submit some internal controls, which you saw was designated as copy one. And with the process of the, you know, finalizing or reviewing an operator system of internal controls, I came back with what I would suggest the changes would be necessary for me to recommend to the board for approval. That would be copy number two. And then of course, copy number three was the final copy that we ultimately agreed on to present to you, to the board today. So with that, I hope I didn't take away any thunder. I guess, Eric, you guys want to chat a little bit about process, what you're looking for, what it entails, a little bit of history. Let's see.
How are you?
Hi. I'm Eric Franzen, Senior Director of Operations for Oxford Casino. So we spearheaded this with Milton a month or so ago based on competing with Wynn and Massachusetts casinos. We worked with Penn in writing up a standard draft of Link Progressives. In other jurisdictions I've worked, we've always had Link Progressives, so it's not something new to me. So we felt that we wrote up internal controls that protect the state, protect our customers, protect us, to make sure that they work with the central site. We also worked with Daryl SGI to make sure that everything on his end is set up and he can monitor the machines. Through that monitoring process, he can monitor the Progressives through the SAS of the machines. So we feel that everything is set up and ready to go and covered all the bases. So if there's any questions on anything, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
So dumb it down a little bit for guys like me. I won't speak for the others. So right now, some of the Progressives are compatible 100% with the central site monitoring system.
Yes.
Those would be basically systems that Scientific Games or their parent company may own or be a subsidiary of.
So how it works right now is we do have a few Link Progressives.
Yeah.
The Progressive controller is owned and operated by Scientific Gaming in their server. It runs through what's called a SAS protocol. It's a very simple Progressive. Now, machines nowadays are getting very elaborate and very complicated, and they have proprietary controllers that run those games from each manufacturer. Those we can't have because Scientific Gaming can't run them and can't monitor them. So what we're pretty much seeing is we'd like to get the controller in, sent to the lab, they can get it, they can hook it up, they can test it on their system, see the progressive jackpots come across their system as wins or anything of that nature. And then once they approve it, says, yep, it works, we can kind of monitor the machine through the progressive. We would then get a controller at our property. We would lock it up with a key that is dual access, so a state control board member plus ourselves would get the key out, put it in place, lock it, secure it, so we can't make any changes once we set it up. They would test it to make sure it followed the rules of that progressive controller, incantation rate went up correctly, you know, stuff of that nature. Once that's all done, pretty much is ready to go. Every day, at the end of our audit day, we would send SGI a list of every progressive that hit, because a lot of them are minor, like $10, $20 ones. Of course, we don't go out and pay. They just go right to credit. So we'd send them a list that they could reconcile to their system to make sure that everything is matching up properly.
So at the end of the day, dollars in and dollars out are being recorded by the monitoring system.
Yes.
What's not being recorded is whether or not one of those dollars out was a result of a progressive. So for all intents and purposes, that would be a manual process just to reconcile that $10 payout was the result of a progressive.
Yep.
But there's no dollars going in or going out that aren't recorded.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, the machine itself is all monitored. So all the revenue, all the tax revenue, everything is monitored like it's supposed to be. It's just they can't monitor the actual little box that's underneath of that machine. That's where the dual lock, camera coverage, all that comes into play to make sure that everything is legit.
Yeah.
And Eric, if you would, give a little bit of layman term on what a progressive is.
So right now we have a lot of standalone progressives. So each machine contributes money to a link or a meter. Now a machine could have multiple meters. Some of them have one, some of them have up to eight or more. And it used to be a very simple mathematic, like a 0.5% of coin in would go to that meter. Nowadays, with machines being so complicated, there could be an extra bet that goes to that meter, there could be certain different wagers. It's all spread out in the help file on the machine. But for Link Progressives, we'd have like 10 machines that all contribute to the same dollar amount. And then when somebody hits one of those progressives, all of them reset. So it's kind of a cumulative thing of everybody's playing to one meter. Like I said, we actually have a few on our floor now. Our bar poker is a Link Progressive. So all playing to the same progressive jackpot, when somebody hits it, everybody's machine resets. It's a very common practice. They've been out. Well, when I started in 1998, we had Link Progressives. I mean, it's not anything new, so.
And the consumer of this, the person gambling, understands they're playing a progressive. That's the idea.
Yeah, so dollar amount keeps ticking up as they're playing. You know, they see it go up.
Right, so they're playing that for a purpose. They know it's Link. They know they have a chance of hitting a higher jackpot because of the progressive.
Yep.
They know when it resets.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically it's like if you're playing a dollar machine, 10 cents of that dollar goes up to the progressive. And they may have, somewhere in the case of three levels of progressives, kind of a smaller amount, large amount. And then you have the ones where typically, or they could be, where you're linked not only to casinos in Maine, but you could be linked to casinos in other states. And that becomes a wide area progressive. So there's standalone, there's length, or what you would say within the facility, and then there's wide area, which would be outside, pretty much like the Powerball. But that's the way these progressives work.
Okay. And so this approval that we're contemplating today is for those that are not compatible to the central site monitoring system.
Right. And I'll also say that I did check in, and West Virginia and Delaware are in the same position. So I actually reached out to them, and this is the process that they accepted as well. So just in case you wanted to know if there was any other.
Mr. Chairman,
yep.
Is there some work to improve those interfaces? Or is it always going to be this way, where you've got one standalone system and then these other games or whatever it is that have to interface with the progressive?
I would assume that it's going to be this way it's all proprietary equipment. You know, every manufacturer likes to have their own controller, and they like to set up the way that it works with their machines. I don't foresee seeing a universal controller anytime soon. It just...
Or just a software interface.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be more that way, way back in the day. Micon, a company that no longer exists, used to pretty much supply all the controllers, but now that they're getting complex with not only giving out progressive ones, but there could be free spins that are being, you know, progressive and stuff like that, it's just getting too complex that they have to run their own hardware.
Okay, thank you.
Just in terms of process, this approval would go into our NICS for acceptance?
Not our NICS, their internal controls.
Okay.
We still have our minimum, but this, everything that they're doing here now or they're requesting is in excess of.
Okay, so this would be an internal control change agreed to by both facilities?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, Hollywood had some people were out of town, I guess on a conference or something, company conference, so they weren't able to submit the form 4000, which is the form for internal control changes. Oxford did submit those, so I would ask, and I can forward those for your signatures, you know, in between meetings, but the wording is going to be the same as what Oxford has. In other words, that third copy was the copy they agreed upon. That verbiage had to be in the internal controls. So it's just where they're incorporating it in their internal controls. And you have an example there for Oxford. So Oxford is done. Hollywood will be submitting theirs relatively soon for their approval as well. But the wording will be exactly the same. It's not going to be any deviation.
Okay.
Yep.
On the final approval, the wording for that or for the submission?
Well, the approval we're asking, or that I'm asking for, would be to approve that final copy.
Got it. Okay.
That text will be a part of their internal controls. What they have to submit to me now for the chairman's signature is how they incorporated that exact wording into their internal controls.
Okay.
Which, like I say, Oxford has done, and Hollywood will be doing.
So that wording is this. It's labeled here as final copy for approval.
Correct.
This is the submission from Oxford, which I've been handed. It hasn't gone to the rest of the board, but it incorporates.
But incorporates that, yes.
All right.
Yes.
So this is available if anybody wants to see it. This is Oxford's request to implement this. And if approved, I guess the idea would be between now and the March meeting, Milt can call me to sign the internal control for Hollywood.
So we're going on both today?
It's going to be the same process. The wording will be identical. It's going to incorporate the final approval of what was sent to us. And then submit it on the appropriate form, which is Oxford. So we should approve them both today, or neither of them today. So I'm happy to.
In essence, you're approving the final copy, the actual text in the final copy. That text will be incorporated into their internal controls, word for word. There will be no deviation, no change. No, it has to be incorporated into their internal controls. So that's just a separate form.
I understand that, but if we haven't received a formal request from Hollywood, how can we approve? Can't we only approve the Oxford submission?
Okay. Well, I think it's process. We anticipate the formal request coming that will mirror this one. And my suggestion is we either approve one or neither. Because if we approve this one, we've set in place a process of putting one casino a month ahead of someone else for progressives, which has never been our practice. If we make an internal control change at one that's going to benefit both, we ought to do them both or neither. And I'm happy with waiting another month to do both if that's what the board wants. But
I guess I would look to Katie to see whether it's appropriate for us to.
Sure. Well, I guess if you're looking at the mix, you know, that the operator is required to complete that internal control standard change request form, which you have there, with a detailed reason for the change. And then the operator has to attach to the form you know, the section of their internal controls that's going to be changed. And then the form and the actual change document has to be forwarded to the director, and then at that point, the board, the director, acts on it. So I think Barbara does have a good concern. I should point out, too, because this just came out on Friday, it has not gone through legal review, so I just want to throw that out there.
All right. So why don't we then bring them both back to the meeting in March? That way we have everything in place. You can take a look at it.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you for your time and your explanation and making it simple for a guy like me. All right. Any other business under new business?
That's it.
Anything from the board? Seeing nothing. Public comment. Anybody here like to address the board? Seeing none. Our next meeting is anticipated to be March 17th, 9 o'clock here in this meeting room. And that brings us to the last item, which is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second. Those in favor?
That's aye.
That's unanimous. Thank you all. We'll see you in March.
Okay. See ya. Bye.